afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and this is the Revisionist Report. I have a very well-known and popular revisionist with me tonight, live and direct from France, none other than Vincent Renoir. I don't know if he's with us yet, so I'll just ask. Hello, Vincent, are you there? Okay, we don't have him yet. I will tell you, those of you who are not familiar with this man's name, he is the creator of Sans Concession. He is quite a well-known Holocaust revisionist, and he has recently been released from a jail term in Belgium, and now he is awaiting another court case in France, simply because he is putting out information that he believes is truthful to counteract the untruthful information about the Holocaust. And of course, that is, there are laws against that. The law in France that he is actually in not in compliance with is the Gaceau law, which in France they don't have exactly the same kind of harsh laws as Germany and Austria, but they still have laws that they can bring people up on charges with if they are not following in the footsteps of the official historical account of World War II, in particular the Holocaust. And so as soon as we get Vincent with us, we will have a very, very interesting discussion, because I feel something of a twin soul. Not a twin soul, but it says he's not responding yet. We have to find the right Skype name for him. I have him. He called me, but they don't have it. So when we take the break, I'll take care of this. But he has an outlook that I share, and I think that will come out when we get him on the line and talk to him. So until we do that, I will tell you a little more about him. He has written, he has right now on the web, there is one of his pamphlets, which he has put out. This is the one that he's gotten in trouble with the law on, and it's called Holocaust and What They Hide From You. And you can get it by going to HTTP, balder.org, balder.org/Judea, JUDEA, /PDF/, Vincent Renoir, Holocaust and What They Hide From You, PDF. And I will put that, I have that for the page, the archive page. So we'll work on this, and when we come back, we hope we'll have Vincent with us.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, the online store. It's a featured product.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're having a little audio problems, but we've gotten everything solved, at least well enough for now. And I do have Vincent Raynard on with me. And Vincent, I already gave a little introduction of you, so I'm just going to ask you to say hello to all the listeners. Vincent?
Yes.
All right, you're there. Now,
yes.
I want to remind our listeners that it is 1 a.m. in the morning where you are, correct?
Yes, it's 1 a.m. in the morning, yes, where I am, yes.
And you had a very busy day. You told me that you were having a conference today.
Yes, I had
that you had put on, all right.
Yes, I had a conference today, so I had a very busy day. I'm exhausted, but it doesn't matter anymore.
All right, good. Well, we're going to have a good show. Now, what I want to say to you first is I told the listeners that you were the creator of San Concesión, which is a magazine, and I was also introducing them to your to what has been made available in English now, your pamphlet on Balder.org, Holocaust, and what they keep from you. So I'm going to give them the URL for that later. But would you like to describe to us your magazine and tell us about it?
My magazine is a revisionist magazine and political magazine too. We call it revisionist and magazine, but National Socialist magazine and Catholic magazine. It's the only one in France which is like that.
All right, and you are, this is important about you, you are a traditional Catholic, and you're very strong and serious about that, correct?
Yes. Yes, you are correct.
What part does that play in your avocation, should we say, of being a Holocaust historian? You know, what how has that influenced you to take up what you're doing?
Yes. Well, it's important for me to be a revisionist, even if I am a Catholic, because I think that Holocaust, it's an accusation against Catholics for two reasons. First reason is a lot of German people were Catholics, so they say that Catholics perpetrated Holocaust, and Jews attack Pope P12 with saying that he didn't do a thing to stop Holocaust. He even not told about that on the radio, and they say it's because he was anti-Semitic. So it's very important for a Catholic to say that Holocaust is an hoax, because if we don't say that, there is a very, very strong accusation against us. I think so.
Yes, all right. Now, you just said that you think it's important to say that the Holocaust is a hoax. And I'm sure you're aware that there are a lot of people who consider themselves revisionists, or maybe beginning revisionists, or, you know, partway revisionists, who don't like that term and don't want to call it that, think that's a big mistake. Do you have anything further you could say about that? Why you think it should be called a hoax, and why you think it should not, we should not hold back on that kind of language?
I understand that you say that persons a lot of persons don't want to be called a revisionist. Is that?
No, they don't. They don't want to call the Holocaust a hoax. But I agree with you on the hoax word. But there are a lot who don't. They are not the most well-known revisionists, but there are a lot of people on the revisionist side who argue against calling it a hoax. And why do you think we should call it a hoax? You did say you kind of said, but it wasn't. Maybe you could say more about it. Am I talking too fast for you?
Ah, yes. You know, I don't answer when you ask a question. I have a little time because another person translates to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. So it's because I don't answer, because I don't hear you very well. It's not easy for me. Well, I think that we have to say that Holocaust is an hoax, because first it's a political reason, you know?
Political religion, yes.
No, it's a political reason. Religious reason.
Okay. Sorry.
Because, yes, I will explain you now why. In Europe, we have a very, very bad, for me, a very bad political system. And today, Europe is dying because we don't have a good political system. If we want to have again a real order society, a lot of persons said to us, we don't want to have an order society because we know with a sort of society, there will be there will be a lot of murders, in Germany in 1942 or 43, order society equal Holocaust, war, etc. So it's a political debate, you know. Today we can't say I think that a fascist society is a good society, because if you say that, they will say to you, oh, you are a criminal person, because we know where fascists lead us, you know, lead us, we know that fascism leads to an Holocaust. So yeah. We have to say it's a hoax. We can be fascist without wanting to kill everybody.
All right. Very good. Now, how do you describe a fascist society?
How do I describe that? A fascist society, I think, it's a society it's not easy for me to explain, because it's somewhat like a philosophical reason. A fascist society, it's a society where you have to act for the society and not for yourself, you know. A fascist society, there's no democracy in a fascist society, because it's very complex to say.
Well, you talk about you have written that you want a strong race in a strong and ordered nation, and you say that a real Catholic must want that.
Yes, uh-huh. I'm sure, because I want a strong race in a strong society, because I think that right race must rule the world, because it's race in history. So if you don't have a right race, I think that the world won't go ahead, you know.
Oh, yeah, the world won't do well if the white race were to be either gotten rid of or weakened so much that they were no longer able to lead. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's what you're saying now. But you know, this is very unpopular, and what you are, you know that, and what you are saying is that you want the right to say this, if this is what you believe. And this is what democracy is supposed to assure us, to have the right to say whatever it is that we believe. But in these instances, and as you say, it is political, we're no longer allowed to do this. So this, you say, is why the Holocaust is the reason for this, and you believe it is a hoax, and you think that that's why it's so important that we do away with it, actually, right?
Oh yes, you're right. It's a good description. Yes.
Okay. So now this is very upsetting to all the people, and there's very many of them who think that the Holocaust is the great event and of a religious nature now that must be honored. It's sacred, you know. So here you are. A sincere traditional Catholic who believes in your religion, and you're facing up to this new religion, of which the Jews have really brought to us. It really is a Jewish religion, but they, as so many have accepted it, which is called a Holocaust or a Holocaustism. And this is quite a battle, and so it's no wonder that you have described the battle that we're in as the eternal fight between light and dark, correct?
Yes. It's a very good. It's a very good summary of my ideas. Yes, you're very right.
All right. Well, now you're more controversial, Vincent, than I realized. But you know, I am very. I empathize with your views, but very few people are willing to come out and say such things because they
I am practically on my own in France.
All right.
You know, but I'm not on my own because I have a lot. I have readers, but I have no thousands of readers. I have only 300 readers.
Yes, so even I'm sure I would not be wrong to say that even the other revisionists will not are not willing to agree with you on some of this, some of the things that you some of your beliefs, correct?
Yes, sure. Very little revisionists agree with me. I am a political revisionist, and in France, a lot of persons think that revisionists must be neutral about politics, on politics or on religion, etc. So I am a very, very particular revisionist. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. And now let's let the listeners know that you have 8 children, which and you are married to, of course, this woman you originally married. You don't intend to end your marriage, or you follow these kinds of. Conventions which you believe in, and you find, I'm sure, the liberalistic modern world to be you find it not to be a place of order, and also I think you probably find it not to be a good place for us to live or to bring people into the best harmony in the best kind of thinking and ideas. And I think you also see a lot of crime inherent in liberalism. Is that right?
Yes, you're right. I think that you wanted to say that for my children, I'm not in a good society for them? No?
You said what?
You said to me that I'm not from. I think that is not. I am not in a good society for my children.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I don't want my children to grow up in such a society. I would like them to grow up in order society. With no lies. And with the Catholic trust, etc. I would like that. I would like a better society for my children and for all the children in Europe. Sure.
All right. So now, when you talk about the society, when you talk about you talk a lot about order. I've noticed you use the word order. You want an ordered nation, and naturally. You know, this is, again, not a very popular word. It has been given negative connotations. And yet, what possibly good can we do without order? Order is at the basis of all good progress and peaceful living, is it not? I mean, I'm sure I'm just repeating what I think you have said. So, speaking of order, how do you compare, because you brought up used the term fascism, how do you compare what you'd call a fascist society with a national socialist society?
When I speak about fascist society, I mean national socialist society, you know. Fascist is a global term. It's a global term, but really, I mean national socialist society. I don't I don't want to. I never speak about Italy. I always speak about Germany because I think it was Germany which made a very, very a good order society, you know. So I will only speak about National Socialist Society, if you prefer.
Yes, I think, because, you know, National Socialism had a socialist element, and Adolf Hitler, to my understanding, was at heart, he wanted a socialist-type society, but
yes.
He didn't want international socialism or any kind of Marxism or Bolshevism at all. He wanted
it
to be on a national basis. And I'm just not real clear when we talk about fascism, just how close that is to national socialism in my own mind. So that's why I find I make a distinction there, but I'm glad to bring out that you don't make that distinction, and you were just using the word because you thought it was more.
Yes, no. But now we make the distinction, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you think that National Socialism was a good system, and that Germany was doing the right things, and then therefore things have gone wrong since then, because Germany was defeated and has been blamed for doing things that it did not do. Would that be correct?
Yes, you're correct. Is that now we are in a wrong direction, and to stay in this direction, they always say people that National Socialists made the largest crime in history, and as long as they will say that and people will believe that, it will be impossible to have real change in society. It will be so. There will be no hope. So we must, at first, tell okay, Holocaust is a hoax. So we can create again a National Socialist society without killing everybody, or Jews or Arabs, don't know where, don't know who. Okay.
Right. The people who subscribe to this view have no desire to kill anyone, and they certainly don't have any desire to enslave non-white European people or to colonize them or to.
Yes, sure.
It was not Germany that was colonizing the world. It was Britain, and the United States was a much bigger colonizer. Germany had a couple of little colonies in Africa.
Very little, yes.
Yeah, and that was a common thing they did then, and they were very, very, the people there liked them. They liked their German colonizers. All right, we are going to a break now. We got to skip the other one, so we'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am here with my guest, Vincent Raynard from France. I should pronounce that Raynard. And I would like now to ask you, Vincent, to tell us a little about your background, because we haven't done that. Your upbringing, your education, and what you were doing, why you're no longer on that career path.
Okay. Yes. I will in somehow. Yes. Okay. My father was a doctor and doctor in medicine, mm-hmm. and my mother too. I grew up in a small village in France without immigrants. So the, I had very my youth was very good, and I didn't like all the injustice I saw in society. Okay, and for example, when I was 10 or 11, I don't remember very well. For Christmas, we went in Paris, and for me it was marvelous. I saw a lot of things a child can see at Christmas, and suddenly I saw a poor woman wanted money. She was
bigger,
super
a prompt. Bigger woman, right?
Yes, a very old woman, you know. Mm-hmm. She was a super Trump. Mm-hmm. And I say it's impossible to have a society like that. It's awful. Why am I rich and why she's so poor? And I say it's not a good thing. I can't stay in a society like that. We must try to change that sort of society. And after, when I read books about history, my parents, I had only official books. But when I read that sort of books, and I saw all the picture about Germany, 1935, 1936, etc. I say, well, I think it's a good society for us. I think it's the society we must fight for. And when I said that to my parents, to my friends, etc., they always said to me, it's awful what you say. You know, Hitler was a criminal, and this society made a lot of crimes. And I say, okay, because I used to believe in the Holocaust, and I said to myself, it's so strange. You had Adolf Hitler made a society for everybody, had an house, car, a lot of children, and it was a very, very socialist man. And I didn't understand why, at the same time, he wanted to be a criminal, to kill people. I said, there is something I don't understand. It doesn't work. This history doesn't work. There's something I can't understand. But I stayed a lot of years thinking that. But revisionism in my family, they didn't know that it existed. So I couldn't read a book, a revisionist book. I didn't know that sort of books existed. And when I was 18, I found a revisionist book. And when I read it, I say, okay, I understand now. It was a hoax. So Hitler was very, very a good man, and he didn't want to kill anyone. And when I read this book, I understood a lot of things, you know. And I say, well, now I can say why I want that sort of society, a national socialist society. A society where everyone can have a house, a car, a good work, a good job, a large family, etc., etc. And suddenly I say, well, so now I can think that because I am a revisionist. If I want people to think that too, I must fight first for revisionism. And it's because I became, when I was 19, I became a revisionist activist.
You went to university. Tell us about that. And you had a career, correct?
Yes. I didn't go to university. I go in an engineer school, you know, in France. It's not the same thing. I became a engineer, chemistry engineer, you know, you understand?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when I became a chemistry engineer, I could study the system of gas chambers, and I realized that it was physically impossible. So when I read Luster report is the first thing I read. I say, well.
Which report? What report?
Luster report.
Luster, okay. Luster, yes.
It's the first thing I read because I used to go in a library, and the owner of the library knew that I was in a engineer school, and he said to me, well, you must read that book. And it was a Luster report. And I said, well, I won't. If you tell me that it's good, I will read it. But I don't think it's true. And when I read this report, I say, okay, I know he is right. There was no gas chambers, and it's because I say thank you, God, to because you made me to become a engineer in chemistry, so I could understand that it was Holocaust was a lie, because I knew that gas chambers couldn't exist. Okay.
Yes, and then how did you get you lost your positions in your career came to an end, right? Your engineering career. How did that happen? Because of your revisionist work, right?
Yes. Well, I became engineer, but I didn't want to work as an engineer. You know, I wanted to become a cineast. But my mother didn't want. She said to me, cineast is not a good career. You can have a very, very better career in chemistry, you know? Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to work like that as an engineer. So I became a teacher because I like very much teaching things to young people, you know?
Yes.
I became a mathematics teacher and a teacher in physics. And so in 1996, I became a teacher, you know. But in the same time, I wrote a book about Oradour-sur-Glane. It's a small village in France, and official history says that Waffen-SS, Germany, the Germans, killed the man, shooting them, and in the church they burned alive 50-100 women and children, you know?
Yes,
in
you
France.
Know, Vincent, I was looking into that whole history of, and I'll say it in my American way so people know what you're speaking of, Oradour-sur-Glane, which is an incident that took place during World War II in France between the Germans and the resistance fighters. And I found your art. I realized after I talked to you the other day that this was that I had read all about this, and it was by you. You did quite a deep investigation into that whole affair, which is really a good example of how they take something, twist it, and then make it into the official history, and everybody accepts it. Right? So
yeah.
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're right. Yes. So I wrote a book about that, mm-hmm. But I used a computer in my school to write it. So. And they discovered it. And after, I have been sacked.
Ah, yes. So,
because
so, so
same,
often happens. So you had it in your computer. You were working on it at your school computer, and it was discovered. And that was
it
enough.
Was discovered. I never knew how it has been discovered. I think a traitor said them that I was working in this on this computer, but I never know. I don't know. Even today, I don't know what's the matter really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't matter. I have been sacked, and I had two children at the time in 1997, and I had no more job, no more house, and I had to go in a little house a man borrowed me, you know, and since 1997 I can't work because I lost my job of teacher, and I can't be now an engineer because since a lot of years I didn't study chemistry, so now I am too old to work like that. And even I don't want to work now as an engineer. It's not for me, it's not very interesting. I prefer fighting for revisionism, you know. For me now in Europe, I can't have a normal life, because if I want to work for society, for factory, I don't know what, they will type Renoir on Google, they will find who I am really, and they won't give me a job, you know. So now I am socially, I am a living dead. I have nothing to hope from society.
Well, your wife accepts this very well, it seems, and she is taking care of the children when you're forced to be away, and she needs a lot of help. And I don't want to end this program without telling the listeners that I'm going to put on the archive page there how you can get a hold of Vincent's wife and send money if you can, and how you can do that, and you can find that other places perhaps on the internet. But this is a situation where his wife is on purpose not given the kind of assistance that other people get in France, public assistance, isn't that right? They withhold public assistance from her for various reasons.
Yes,
very legitimate.
It's wrong. She had assistance in Belgium, you know,
mm-hmm.
because we have been obliged to get a divorce, you know.
It's I didn't know that.
We have been forced to do that, because now she must say, I am a lonely woman, I have no husband anymore, and so now she managed to have public assistance in Belgium, you know.
Well, that's right. I forgot that. I don't make that distinction well enough. She is in Belgium, and well, I did not know that. My goodness, how sad.
But you know,
it doesn't really make any difference, does it?
You know, she state gives her 200,000 dollars a month, you know, and she has to take care of 8 children, to pay for schools, because we can't put our children in a public school. It's impossible. Their name is Renoir, and so they can't be put in a public school. So we put them in private schools, and it's very expensive. You know, so we always need help. I used to give private lessons to earn a little money, but now I can't, because even in France, so now, you know, French justice French justice investigates about me in a new revisionist affair, and so I can't go abroad. I must stay in France, because justice want me to be in France, and I am they forbid me to give private lessons to children under 18.
Well, all right, Vincent, we have to go to our last break before our last segment, so we'll hold on. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans, thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation, but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny? and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out. Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager again, and we're in the last segment of our program with Vincent Renoir. I think I'm going to have to learn how to pronounce his name.
It's very good. Renoir, yes.
Renoir. It's very simple. I'm making it difficult. All right, now I want to reiterate, again, I said, Vincent, we have about 5 minutes. I want to reiterate that you call yourself a political fighter and you call yourself a political revisionist, and this does set you apart from a lot of other revisionists who don't want to be political. Now, you also have said that Justice Jackson from the United States Supreme Court said about the Nuremberg trials that he was our head person at in 1945-46-47, that the Nuremberg trials were a continuation of World War II.
Yes.
And you say he is right, he was right, that World War II is not over, it continues, but not with physical weapons, but with intellectual weapons. And the Holocaust is a weapon of mass destruction in the hands of our enemies that we must, we actually must destroy. So these are very strong fighting words. You want to say any more about that?
Well, I confirm. I think that today, because I think that World War II was an intellectual war against two conceptions of world. And this war finished in May 1945, but it was finished with weapons, with physical weapons. But this war continues today with intellectual weapons. And my enemies, they have a world mass destruction with Holocaust. Because with Holocaust, we can't speak about National Socialism. We can't have a rational discussion. It's impossible. So we said, well, it's a criminal ideology because Holocaust. So it's a very, very strong weapon in their hands. And the war is continuing, in fact, continues today. And we have to fight and we have to destroy their mass destruction weapon. We have to tell that Holocaust in a hoax. It's the our first mission in this intellectual war. World War II continues, and we fight for Germany in our mind, and revisionism is our weapon of mass destruction. Without revisionism, there's no hope to win this intellectual war.
All right, Vincent, I want to thank you so much. It's just been wonderful having you, and that you stayed up to be on this program. And I hope that somehow we will be able to get together again. I appreciate it very much, and the listeners do too.
Thank you, Caroline, for this interview. And I think that we, with freedom of speech, United States of America is hidden.
Yes. All right. Well, we have to go. Good night, Vincent. Okay. Good night, listeners.